Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
All right, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Today is Friday, May 14th. The time is 3:02 p.m., and we're here in studio. We're ready for another fantastic show. We're ready for game day. Game day on the menu today right here on The Drive. It is a Friday in Knoxville. We're here with you for 3 hours getting you ready for this game. Just after the show ends today, 30 minutes after, is when Tennessee officially has first pitch against the Arkansas Razorbacks. I don't know about you, but that puts me in a pretty good mood. Puts me in a pretty good mood all weekend long. Hey, hopefully at least we can take the first game today. But either way, hey, thanks for being in today. No matter where you are, no matter how you're listening, thanks for making us a part of your afternoon. It's going to be a great show. We got the normal crew in-house minus the captain. Russell, as you know, we've talked about it extensively. He is on the beach. Bear, what do you think he's doing right now? You think he's there? Have you talked to him yet today?
No, he's not there yet.
Okay.
No, he's probably in Columbia right now.
Okay.
I just got some texts from him, so.
Okay.
He's still got about, what, a couple of hours? Maybe an hour and a half?
All right, so he's making his way over there. What about gas? Is he okay on that front?
Yeah, he filled up before he crossed into South Carolina. I was talking to him then too. In fact, I've been talking to Russell off and on all day today, now that I think about it. So I've kind of had a weird day.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. What stuck out to you today?
Well, funny you should say that. You ever have one of those moments where you look down and you realize that your pants are unzipped?
Oh, no.
And you have no idea how long. And then quickly you realize, you think back to the last time you went to the bathroom, which was before you left the house 3.5 hours earlier.
Ooh.
And went to a doctor's office.
I'm hoping not multiple places.
And a hospital.
Oh, no.
And over to see a friend.
Oh, great. I mean, that's got to be it, right?
And to a local sandwich shop.
Oh, of course, one more. I mean, what'd you go to? Did you go to World's Fair Park next and jump at the top of the Sun Sphere?
I went to like 7 places with my pants unzipped today.
Oh, that has to be daunting. daunting in hindsight.
Like the glue-eating kid in your 4th grade class. That was me this morning.
Oh, man. Because you're right. There's that moment where you see it and you just, your heart sinks.
You're like, how long have I been? And then you're like, oh, hold on. This is the last time I went to the bathroom. Oh, my God. What have I done?
Oh, man.
So, yeah. Anyhow, to anybody that came across me today, I apologize. It wasn't intentional. I don't want to get canceled or anything.
And if somebody points that out to you, A, you're a little thankful of it, but also B, it's like, hey, wait, you got wandering eyes or something? Or maybe it's hard to notice. I don't know.
No, it's just like, hey, dude. Zip up your pants, man.
Okay.
Well, you look like the kid in 4th grade that eats glue and walks around with his pants unzipped.
And unfortunately, that was you for a couple hours in Knoxville today.
Yeah.
Hey, well, yeah. We've all had that moment, but it's never fun. Never fun. So Bear is in the house.
I'm a little upset because at one of the places, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I went in for treatment.
Okay.
And you're on this table and like, you know, I don't have a shirt on. And I've got, like right now, I've got all kinds of crazy marks all over my torso.
You're just graffitied up right now.
Yeah.
Tatted.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say tatted, but I've got a lot of riding on me right now.
Okay.
Marks and stuff. And, like, they have to line me up with lasers all up and down my torso. So I'm kind of finding it hard that none of the three people that were in there getting me lined up didn't notice that my pants were unzipped. It's like, been like, hey. Because, like, I see them every single, like, literally, like, I see them every day but Saturday and Sunday.
So you're good friends with them at this point. At you this feel point, like they can tell you
something.
On a first
name basis, yeah. I'd be like, hey, because I mean, I tell them, like, hey, you know, your pants are unzipped, Brian. And I'm how about reciprocating here?
It's like, I'm just trying to be a good friend, let
and,
you know.
And, save and I'm, you some and I'm laid out on a table.
Full exposure.
Yeah, like, there's no way they could have missed it. I'm going to ask them about it on Monday.
What if it was on purpose? Have you thought about that part? What if they saw it, somebody did, and kind of noticed, and they thought, eh. We'll see how long it takes him to notice. See if it has an effect on his day at all.
I mean, they know me fairly well now.
Have you done anything to make them mad?
No. Those people are like, they're just super, super nice.
And they're superhumans because of what they can do.
Yeah.
Medically.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a room for any kind of attitude. No.
Sounds like an eventful day for you, Bear. Glad you're here full zipped and everything like that.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So.
Hey, wait, by the way, friendly reminder to everybody out there, go ahead and check your fly real quick. You could be one of those people out there who's listening right now. You look down.
The glue-eating moron.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that guy.
So check out there right now. Everybody do it. Fly check. We also have the one and only GP3 in the house. Good afternoon, guy. How you doing?
Yeah, good afternoon.
What's going on?
Well, I'm not going to be able to follow up that story Bear just told about his fly, so I've had a pretty uneventful day so far.
I guess in comparison, it might be kind of hard to figure out that kind of story when you got another guy in here who's been prancing around the city with a completely open window.
Yeah, pretty much.
Gentlemen, today is a good day. How are we feeling? 6:30 tonight at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. It's the big one. It's finally here.
Kind of nerve-wracking.
I'm terrified.
I've got some butterflies. I haven't had these since the last year of Grant and Admiral, probably 2015, going into Oklahoma. Like, this is one of those moments in a program where you can really make a statement. They've got it. Coach Vitello and the guys have it all laid out right in front of them. And will they grab the brass ring and win the series? I don't expect them to sweep. You know, we could talk about, you know, what did we do a poll on that yet? Like what would most fans consider a successful weekend?
Man, that's such an interesting question in baseball, because obviously you have the extended series, and realistically Tennessee could still win one game, but are there ways that you could find a one game victory successful over the weekend? I think there could be, but it's an interesting question. But we will have to throw something up for the Rickard Ridge smoking hot question today, and we'll of course make it something baseball related.
I guess in comparison, do you consider the Vanderbilt series?
Yeah, that's where you can kind of go back and refer it to, right?
Yeah, because that Saturday win,
that was just given the moment. That weekend was successful. I think the guys learned a lot from that weekend, and it was good for us to light up lighter.
Yeah.
Friday night, I mean, when Rocker's he's that talented. When he's got his stuff working and when he's really in the zone on the mound, there's a reason he's going to play probably for a very long time in the majors.
No, I saw this weird thing, an MLB draft, and Rocker had actually slid down to the sixth spot. Leiter had slid down to
twice.
Two. And that's the thing, right? And so you have a high school kid sitting there at number one, a guy who plays for Dallas Jesuit, who kicked my ass in lacrosse many times while I was growing up. But you got a kid there, and he's the projected number one pick. But how do you compare that, right? If you're one of these teams.
You got your ass kicked by some guy that was 4 or 5 years younger than you in lacrosse?
No. I'm saying that's school. School kicked our ass a lot.
Dallas Jesuit.
Yeah.
Good. That's a good.
They got a lot of athletes in a lot of sports.
I mean, it's a kind of an athlete factory.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah. Factory is a good word for it.
There's certain schools in Texas. Cedar Hill, where Caden Salter's out of, and that DeSoto High School.
Allen. Yeah, there's a bunch. But how do you take that in consideration? Like, if you look at Leiter and say that, all right, he got rocked by a top 10 Tennessee team versus a high school kid who is just mowing through random competition who's never going to make anywhere. I've always thought that's a weird aspect of the MLB draft. But either way, I guess we're not spending today talking about Leiter and Rocker and the Vanderbilt guys. But I will say this one last thing about the Vanderbilt series. I've been going back and forth in my head a lot trying to figure out which series, or I guess which weekend, I feel like is bigger for Tennessee. And now that this one's finally here, it is this Arkansas series. There's so much on the line when you're looking at this game. And I know the Vanderbilt series was fun because, frankly, it was the first, right? Like, we really didn't have any other kind of top five matchups like that. And, of course, you get the whole mid-state approach, and that's fun with the intrastate rivalry. But, man, I'm just looking at this game and thinking about everything that's on the line with only one more series to go in the SEC regular season. We have a little bit of news coming out this morning about the regionals, and we'll get into that, of course. But when you think about this game and you think about what could be on the line, right now, Tennessee and Arkansas both sit at 17-7 in SEC play, which is essentially a 708 win percentage. Vanderbilt, though, because they only completed two out of their three games last weekend, they sit right behind both teams at 16-7. So you have situations where Tennessee and Arkansas could either take that number up to 20, while Vanderbilt could sweep number 18 Ole Miss, take the number up to 19, or if obviously a sweep doesn't happen in the Tennessee-Arkansas series, you could see a situation where either Tennessee or Arkansas is leading the SEC at the end of the weekend, or one of those two teams is tied with Vanderbilt. But I don't believe there's a way that Vanderbilt can come out ahead. It's convoluted. It's a little bit confusing. Yeah. It's weird. There's still a little bit to go. But regardless, that being on the line this weekend, to me, raises the intensity up. The fact that we finally have 100% seating capacity, man, that raises the intensity up. Everything working into this weekend, I could not wait. Or I cannot wait.
I can't believe they haven't flexed this game into a SEC Network game. You still have to stream tonight. I know they got different rules, I guess, when it comes to baseball. But you see it in football all the time where they'll flex games that are higher importance. I mean, I looked at the preseason standings, and obviously Tennessee and Arkansas weren't really – they weren't projected to be top five teams, but I'm so surprised they haven't.
Well, I
would flex the game into national televised.
I totally agree with you. So tonight on the SEC Network Plus. Yeah,
that's really weird.
I also don't like how
whoever
we have
wins the series is probably. I think if Tennessee wins the series, we may see them move. You think they jump us all the way to number one?
In the rankings? Only if we sweep. That's the only way I see it happening.
We'd have to sweep them.
And we really need Ole Miss to have a good weekend against Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Because again, they're right there on our heels. And again, they'd probably be in that three-way tie with Tennessee and Arkansas had they just played that third game against Alabama last week. But because of that, they're in a weird place at 16-7, whereas you have Tennessee and Arkansas at 17-7.
That's wild to even be thinking about this in baseball, how far we've come in 4 years.
God, it really is. And
Coach Patel and Russell and I were talking last night or the night before. It doesn't matter. We were talking this week about the fact that we both agreed. We really think last year's team was better than this year's team.
Oh, that's a fun conversation.
And I've said for a long time that, in fact, we did a show like that. Like, what's the biggest thing that COVID ruined for you? And for me, it was last year's Tennessee baseball season because they were, if you remember, last year before the COVID shutdown, they were mowing them down.
They were Crochet, nasty.
They had, you know, had a pitcher that was going to later on in the year pitch a game in the ALCS. So, I mean, that team was stacked last year with guys. So, I mean, it would have been really, that was it for me. But, you know, with that being said, you know, like we've got it all out in front of us. It's up to them.
It is. And that's essentially what the message from Coach Vitello is to the team today. Tate, I know that we can look ahead if you let yourself do that. I know that you can be looking ahead to only the one remaining series after this, or the SEC tournament, maybe the SEC championship, or maybe even the regional tournament, which there was news about this morning again, which the team probably knows about. But throughout the week, whether it was Vitello on The Drive on this show right here on Wednesday, whether it was him talking to the media on Thursday, he continues to preach the same thing. You know, he actually spoke to the media yesterday where he said this quote exactly. I think that has been mentioned to me enough to where I now know that, talking about how there is the SEC lead on the line this weekend. But he says this, quote, "But there's another week to go in the SEC, and if you're in any major conference, it's crazy what can happen down the stretch. Or how one weekend can kind of turn things upside down. I think the best time to kind of look up and see where you're at is on the bus to Hoover." He's making sure that the players are not looking ahead. They're not looking at those SEC championship or tournament games. But it really is one day at a time, Arkansas, Arkansas, and Arkansas.
I can't wait. I'm so excited for tonight.
Oh, I'm amped. I cannot wait for this series. I'm nervous, though.
Yeah, I'm
terrified.
I am incredibly nervous.
I'm not that nervous. I'm really
okay.
Not.
Well, what is able to keep your keep the butterflies down a little bit?
I think it's just because it's baseball, and I'm not saying that because it's a bad thing. I'm saying it's not just one done. It's not like a football game. If you lose, it's over.
Yeah.
If we lose tonight, you got two more chances. So I think that might be part of the reason I'm not so nervous. Obviously, you want to win the first one, but baseball, it's not just one night doesn't define
sure
your team.
That's exactly right. You know, and it is kind of this weird concept of, all right, well, how do Tennessee fans consider this weekend a success? In reality, the only way to me to answer that question is in hindsight, right? Yeah. Because, yeah, you could win one game. But again, like Bear was saying, look at the series against Vanderbilt, you rocked their absolute best pitcher. Yeah, the one beforehand kind of shut you down on Friday, but you really took the bats to Jack Leiter. And I think that gave this team momentum, a little bit of confidence throughout the rest of the season to be able to say, hey, you know what? Give us your best. I know we might have not got it done on Friday, but this is telling us right here that we can take anybody out and we can do it on any given day. And I think that's a big thing. You know, a lot of Tennessee fans are looking right now, oh, projecting one game. Why not? Why not two, man? This is the number four team in the country. I know a lot of us like to keep our cup on sometimes, and certainly we're playing the number one, so Arkansas is great, but let's not forget that this is a top five matchup, that Tennessee is meant to be here because they've been dominating everybody all year. I cannot wait, and I think that two wins is still very much on the table with a great team that Tennessee has.
Sure. Absolutely.
Man, it's fun. Speaking of the series coming up, obviously it's going to be the big conversation of the day as we go on. Obviously, the show is going to end just 30 minutes before the game is on the SEC Network Plus. Bear, what do we have coming up today? We got a ton of stuff lined up at 3:40. So coming up here in about just 20 minutes, Logan Quinton, FanRunRadio.com. He's going to give us what he wrote about in his preview for the website earlier this morning. And then what else?
We've got Widespread Panzeca. Lucas Panzeca.
Oh,
he'll be joining
us
from the mid-state in the 4 o'clock hour.
What are we talking with him? Titans? Probably Titans schedule.
Titans,
of
maybe
course.
Some Premier League.
You're gonna have to handle the Premier League.
I'll handle it with him. We got to break down.
What about Preds? They're out there.
Yeah,
Preds hockey. Of course,
Preds hockey. We got to talk about the championship game between my man City Boys and Russell's Chelsea. I don't even know what the hell they're called. It's Chelsea Boys.
Do they have mascots in the Premier League?
Man City does.
Not a big soccer
they
guy.
Do they have mascots? Like the Chelsea
really.
Lions?
Yeah, I don't think so.
They don't need them over there. They're too good for them?
Yeah, it's just...
Too good for a mascot?
I guess.
Too good to throw in a minimum wage paid kid in a big furry
suit? One of the few
suit?
Things that I relented with Russell and finally listened to him and picked a team. Because he told me I get really into it because they're crazy over there. They're completely
sure.
Insane.
They're like us, Tennessee football fans.
We're like them.
Okay, fair. Well, I'm not a soccer fan. They're
like
us.
SEC fans on
like
steroids.
Us.
Like I kept saying that, and then Russell's like, nah. You know.
I'd put the only other thing on that list would be that things that Russell gave to you that you're now in on, Game of Thrones. Probably the only other thing on the only other big thing on the list that I can think of. Either way.
Yeah, Otherwise, I just try and not pay much attention to Russell. He's an idiot.
Guys, we got so much good stuff coming up on the show today. Don't go anywhere. We'll catch this quick break, then come back on the other side. Continue the conversation. Logan Quinton at 3:40. Hey, don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey, folks.
All right, here we go. Welcome back to The Drive. It is 3:24 p.m. We're making our way through the beginning of the show today. You got Rick Butler, the Bear, and, of course, GP3 hanging out with you right now. Phone lines wide open, absolutely wide open, 865-546-8200. But in order to make those wide open, we got to head over there right now and get the caller on the line, and it is Buster. Good afternoon, Buster. Welcome into the show. How you doing?
Buster, you with us? Buster.
Going once.
Buster, going twice.
Hello.
Yeah. Over here at ticket office.
Oh, you are on campus right now. You're at the stadium.
Our listeners need to get over here and get in line. Of course, you guys know I know Chase and I know John Reese, so they got my phone number. Give me a call if I can help anybody out. I was just going to get me standing room only because I'm by myself. Because, you know, I'm a delivery driver. I stand all day, damn day, you know. So, but if I can help anybody out, at 5 o'clock they go on sale, I can pick up some extra tickets.
All right, so we got a man on the ground right now. It looks like walk-up tickets are going on sale at 5 o'clock p.m. All right, so how?
Supposed to be about 300, 400, and then there should be standing room only after that. Because we're supposed to, you know, the record is 5,000. And they sold 4,300.
I know that I saw a tweet from, I believe, Callum Vall earlier today that he was going through kind of StubHub and Vivid Seats and trying to figure out that there were only a handful of tickets left. So it looks like the best option, if you're still trying to go to the game, is the walk-in option. So, Buster, how many people are kind of gathered around the stadium already that you can see?
It's short. It's nothing like Vanderbilt. I mean, we're not even past the first tree. Going back down towards the steam plant. This is crazy. I thought it'd be more. I got a few Arkansas people here, but I'm telling you, come on over, Fox Sports. I mean, it's easy picking to get a seat in this thing tonight because we're going to break 5,000. You know that because that's the record.
Yeah. So. You heard it here first, Dave. If you need a ticket, head down there right now. They got short
lines.
Head
on down, or you got my phone number, call me. I got WC's. Back. I got everybody's back.
I'm the people.
All right. You have a great show. I'll be listening.
Hey, thanks, Buster. Look at that. We got a man on the ground. He wanted to call in to let us know that there is a short line for the ticket and that you can, I guess, give him a call if you have his number, if you want to try to get in. That's pretty good. So I'm actually not surprised if he's saying that the line was longer for Vanderbilt. I kind of don't take that as surprising because I figure most people kind of bought their tickets already, right?
Yeah. I mean, you would think.
Yeah. Like, if we were only letting in at the time 1,500, well, now that's, 1,000 or 2,000 more people who already have their tickets. So I do expect the walk-in line to be a little bit shorter, which, hey, is good for you, the listener, in case you are still trying to go to the game at the last second.
I do think that's cool the way they release tickets. So, you know, if something came out, like if I drove down there, like as soon as the show was over, it'd be cool to get a shot at getting a single without having to go on StubHub and pay. Do we know how much are the tickets for this thing going for?
I saw earlier today that I believe the numbers as of a couple hours ago, again from Callum on Twitter, anywhere from about $65, $75. And I believe yesterday they were in the 30 to 40, maybe low 50 range.
What Tennessee win today or tomorrow?
Holy.
Sunday ticket.
Yeah. That's going up.
Yeah.
If there is any way for Tennessee to clinch the series win this weekend, oh my gosh. That's going to be the rowdiest game. Have you been to a game yet this year?
Yeah, I went to the Vanderbilt game against Rocker. That's the only one I've been to so far.
Yeah,
I chose the wrong day to go. I should have gone on Saturday.
I know. Have you ever had another experience like that where you've had a ticket to a, and I guess this pretty much only happens in baseball, but you have a ticket to one game and either the very – and usually, I guess, the very next game or maybe the game before, something crazy happens and you are just left in the dust because you missed it by one day?
No, but I did have, like, kind of the opposite happen once with the Braves game.
So in a good way.
Yeah.
Okay, what happened?
This was back in, like, 2010, 2011. I went to a Braves game. Dan Uggla, at the time, was in the middle of a 33-game hit streak, which was the longest active hit streak in the majors for some time now. And he got his last hit of that hit streak at the game I was at and then lost it the game after when I left, which I think it's the longest hit streak since that still happened.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so that definitely is in a good way.
Yeah.
I had one situation back home. I had tickets to a Saturday afternoon game, and I chose to sell those tickets to go to the Sunday night game where it was going to be a little bit cooler. It's not like Sunday night baseball or anything, but it's just, frankly, it's just going to be cooler. And I was like, I don't want to go spend the day out in this heat. The game that I had sold my tickets from, no joke, was the Jose Bautista punch to the face. The one of the greatest knockout shots on the diamond. And I sold my ticket for it like a chump. Have you ever had anything like that happen where you had a ticket for a game and then the day before, the day after, the game before, game after, I should say, is something wild happens and you missed it by one day?
No. I've not gone. Like, I've had tickets for a couple of shows that I just ended up not going to that I later regretted.
Oh, okay. So music stuff.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good reference.
I had tickets to the 2016 Tennessee-Georgia football game, and I turned it down to go to the Florida game. So I didn't really miss out because I still saw the comeback against Florida and saw us in that streak, but I did miss out on the Hail Mary. So it wasn't like I missed out completely.
Man.
But
in hindsight, which one would you rather have seen? The 11-year streak break to Florida at home or Dobbs to Juwan Jennings in the end zone in Athens?
I've never watched a Tennessee game away from Neyland Stadium. I've never been to a different place.
Yeah.
So after they hit their Hail Mary, I don't know if I could have taken it. I might have stormed out after that. So I would say Florida.
Because that was, a lot of people forget that aspect to it. They had just hit one literally like the play or two before. Was it the immediate play before?
Yeah, it was. Because they hit that with 10 seconds left, then the kickoff. They got the penalty on the kickoff, and then Dobbs threw the Dobbs.
Yeah, because it was like a miracle how we had gotten to the 50-yard line even just to set it up. There was no way that was supposed to happen. But it was the penalty.
Yeah, because they had the excessive celebration, so they had to already kick off from like the 20. And then on the kickoff, they also got an offsides penalty.
Oh, that's poetic. Poetic.
Have you ever gone back and listened to the Georgia announcers call that game?
No.
When they got their version of the Hail Mary with 10 seconds left, their announcers were saying, "We got an excessive celebration penalty. Who cares? It doesn't matter."
It did matter.
Yeah.
It did matter when you're moving old Josh Dobbs up to the 50.
But yeah, wow. Those are my two examples of missing out because I went to a different game.
Yeah,
I didn't go to a different game, but I left the drunk tank.
Oh.
After Georgia threw the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And I got pissed and left. And I remember punching my dashboard really hard several times. And then didn't turn on the radio. And then just drove home and turned on voluntary reaction. That's when I realized we had won.
And the thing is like, how many people out there? You guys are not the only ones who did that. We are not the only ones who turned it off. So many people probably turned it off in that moment because you're like, of course.
Yeah.
Like, of course. I can't even remember if I was mad or not in the moment. Part of me was just like, oh. Well, no, maybe not that season.
I'll say, to be fair, I didn't turn the game off. I probably would have left had I been there, but I left the game on. I was just pretty disinterested.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good example. Hey, if you have any good examples, go ahead and tweet us in. We'll read them on air. We'll have some fun with that question today. Is there anything that you missed before or after? By the way, we still got to set up a Rickard Ridge smoking hot question of the day before Logan jumps on. What was our poll yesterday?
How many games do you want Tennessee to win over the weekend?
Yeah, let me see. Scrolling. Here it is. All right, so yesterday's Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot question was, how many games will UT baseball win against number one Arkansas this weekend? 49% of the audience, 49.8, so let's say 50. 50% of the audience says 2. Wow. That's the kind of confidence I like to see. 37% of the audience says 1. 10% of the audience says 3. Hello, sweep. And only about 2.8% of the audience says 0. You surprised that 50% think 2?
I'm kind of surprised by that.
That's pretty good. That's pretty darn good. I like the confidence, and obviously that's the kind of confidence that Tennessee is going to need to bring into the stadium this weekend. You got full capacity. You got 100% crowd. Chad Dallas on the mound. I like Chad Dallas starting out Fridays. I actually love Chad Dallas starting out Fridays. I think he is such a good pitcher at specifically what he's in there meant to do. He is the kind of guy, and we talked about this with Rusty Enzer yesterday, and he specifically mentioned that this is one of the good things about having Dallas at the top of your rotation, good old cheese, right? He is a guy who's able to give you extended innings on the Friday game. That is so critical, especially for a team like Tennessee, right? Which we know will use its bullpen, especially later on the weekend, especially on Sundays. Having a guy like Chad Dallas, who has gone more than 6 innings in his last 5 straight starts, the vast majority of his starts this year have been more than 6 innings. That is just a tremendous start on a Friday to get you ready for the entire weekend ahead. I love having Chad Cheese Dallas on the mound.
What impresses me about him is that he doesn't get rattled. Like, he gives up runs. He's given up, quite a few runs in some of his starts, but he doesn't get rattled by it. He'll just focus on the next batter, keep going, and make it 7 innings. And he knows that as long as he's locked in, his offense is going to come through for him. So,
yeah.
Because you'll see a lot of pitchers, they give up a home run or a hit and then a home run. They get rattled and they can't focus. They're worried about what happened instead of what's going to happen. But he doesn't seem to be that type of player.
Yeah, and even kind of looking at, looking back at his recent starts, when I'm looking here, runs. Oh, never mind. But what I was going to say is Tennessee has given him a little bit of – it's been a little bit of a roller coaster, I guess you could say. There's been times where Tennessee has given him a lot of runs in support, and there's been times where he's had to work with a little bit of a smaller amount. But either way, I think you've seen Chad Dallas do a really good job. Here it is. All right, so in his last start, Tennessee won with only 5 runs. But in the game before that, 14, right? But then against Vanderbilt, Chad Dallas went 7 innings pitched, and we know how that went on Friday. You were there. When unfortunately Tennessee couldn't get the run support.
And he pitched well in that game. I mean,
you
can't expect to go out there and pitch a scoreless game against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, let's even look at that game, right? So Chad Dallas against Vanderbilt in that kickoff Friday game, 7 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 runs, and only 2 of those were earned.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good performance against the number 2 team in the country at the time. So when you're looking at who Tennessee is putting on the mound today, You feel pretty good. Looking in Noisewater, we were talking about this a second ago. He says, I bought a pair of tickets for $65 each. Most money I've spent on tickets in a while. The fees are what kills you. Maybe that's a little bit of an update about what you can get them for. All right, let's do this. It is time to catch a quick break here. On the other side of the break, we're bringing in Logan Quinton of FanRunRadio.com. He wrote a great preview article for FanRunRadio.com earlier this morning. Go check it out. But be sure to be listening in the next segment as he gives us his full breakdown on the game. We're going to break right now. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.
All right, back here on The Drive. You know, our question of the day has been pretty good so far, and we've gotten a lot of good responses on Twitter. We'll save those for the second hour, read out some of those stories. But if you have any story along those lines, and maybe you missed a game by one game, missed a historic moment in the sport, or at least a great moment in the sport, or really bad in some cases, let us know. Give us a tweet or call in a little bit later on. But in the meantime, guys, we have one of my favorite guests to talk about baseball on the line right now. It is the one and only LDQ Sports, Logan Quinton from FanRunRadio.com. Good afternoon, Logan. How you doing, my man?
How's it going, gentlemen? What a beautiful day for a baseball game, huh?
Oh, how nervous are you? Scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, my blood has been pumping all day long.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone in that either. Not at all.
Yeah, so this is exciting. Like I wrote about it, this is kind of unprecedented. It's one thing for Tennessee to have a top five matchup at home. It's happening twice this year. And so even though the Vandy series was a little bit disappointing, you get another crack at it. And it's not like it was a blip on the radar. It's not like that Vandy series sent the Volunteers spiraling downhill. They have bounced back. That's the only series they've lost all year. So,
not to mention, I think you gain a little bit of momentum in the way that they were able to take Leiter out of the game a little bit earlier than Vanderbilt probably would have liked to have him exit, and you were able to gain some confidence knowing that you can take a number one pitcher or a number two pitcher. No, you know what? He's a number one, take him and hit him up pretty good.
Yeah, you hit it on the nose like that. Even though Tennessee lost that series, they made a statement on that second game. Like, they made a statement because they came out flat. Granted, it was against Rocker in game one, but for them to bounce back and have a game like that against Leiter, that was huge.
So before we get into the actual series versus Arkansas, I want to ask you this, and I think it's funny that I'm asking this because I just talked about myself, how I don't really think you can judge this until hindsight is 20/20, like with that Vanderbilt series. But can you see a way that even if Tennessee can only pull together one game this series, that it can still be successful in a couple different ways? Like we had talked about with that Vanderbilt series, hey, even if you lost two, you still were able to build confidence and build a little bit of, I don't entirely want to say momentum, but yeah, a little bit of momentum along the way. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I totally think that they can keep things going if they just get one game out of this series. By all means, their target is to win this thing. But like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I think it was before the Missouri series, it was like we were kind of doing a look ahead. And I said I would take 6 wins out of the next 9 in terms of the SEC games. They have that firmly in place. 7 would be fantastic. You can lose this series and still have that 7 if you sweep South Carolina. And 6 wouldn't be worst case scenario. 6 out of 9 to end the season, SEC ball, that's winning baseball. So I think you're right in saying that, absolutely.
All right, so talking about the actual series now, there's going to be a lot of things going on in the stands. There's going to be things going on with the fans. We know that Checker Lindsay is happening on Saturday, a pig roast on Friday, Kids Day on Sunday. But what about actually on the field? How do you feel like this Tennessee team fares against Arkansas kind of on just a broad basis right now in regards to the offensive matchups, the defensive matchups, just kind of in the 3-game series look? How do you think Tennessee and Arkansas match up?
Yeah, so Tennessee has the edge in terms of from top to bottom in terms of their rotation. I know you guys just talked about Cheese Dallas. He's been that frontline starter for Tennessee, and even though you know, he gives up the long ball here and there. They just have a little bit of extra juice when he plays. They average 5.8 runs per game this season when he takes the mound. And then you got Will Heflin, who's been solid. And my man Blade Tidwell has been absolutely fantastic as a freshman, holding that Sunday starter spot down. And when you look at Arkansas, they've got Wicklander. He'll be going tonight, a lefty with a sub-2 ERA. But after that, it's a drop-off. Like, their team ERA is sitting at 4, and they've got a Game 2 guy in Peyton Pallett. His ERA is right there at their average. And then Game 3 guys, they don't have one. They kind of have been rotating guys, doing it by committee. So I think Tennessee has an edge at the back end of the series. If you ask me in a broad scope, I would say that you know, Arkansas would probably be favored this game. Tomorrow's a toss-up, and Sunday, Tennessee has the edge. So looking at it that way, you know, the whole series might be a toss-up. But this is certainly a team, if you're talking about Arkansas, that matches up quite evenly when things shake out with Tennessee, despite them being number one in seemingly every category, every ranking.
Yeah, absolutely. When you kind of go down the list, you see Tennessee, or excuse me, you see Arkansas's strengths, and it's hard to say that a team that is the top spot team, it's hard to say that they have a weakness, but let's be honest, everybody does in some extent. Now, what I've talked to a couple of Arkansas folks about over the week is, where is a spot that Tennessee can take advantage of the Hogs? Where is a spot that Tennessee can get out to a good jump? And they said right there, get off to a good jump. Look, their bullpen is very, very talented, and we obviously know they can swing the bat at a very high rate. So Tennessee is going to need to focus on really jumping out to a good early lead. I think if you're the Vols, you do not want to let Arkansas get to the bullpen with any kind of substantial lead. What do you know about that and kind of their starting pitching and kind of just about that sentiment that I've been passed down throughout the week?
Yeah, absolutely. That is key. Tennessee has typically been very good in the first five innings. That's helped them along the way. You can't come out flat like you did against Vandy in that. And like I said, it was Rocker, but you got another big-time lefty on the mound here, and he's not quite Rocker material, but I think the righties, I mean, this offense has been humming the past couple of weeks, and if those righties can come through, when you're talking about Jordan Beck, Rocker, even Greer, you know Liam Spence is going to do his thing. So if those righties can come through big today, early on, that's going to be huge. Jump out to a lead. And that's really going to be key in a couple of the games because you know that Arkansas is willing to throw cops, you know, two times. So, that's going to be huge. They're going to have to get out to early leads to be able to thwart this this Hogs bullpen.
Man, how good is Liam Spence right now? Hitting over 400 in conference play. This is a guy who absolutely is up for the SEC Player of the Year, maybe even Player of the Year. Just in general as it stands, what can you say about how much he brings to the lineup and who else maybe around him are you expecting or maybe are you looking for out of Tennessee to have a big weekend coming up?
Yeah, I expect Liam Spence to be Liam Spence. He's the one constant. He's the catalyst that kind of keeps this lineup turning. And then I'm looking at guys like Jake Rucker and Jordan Beck. Jordan Beck, we talked about him. He's been on this nice, slow, progressive trajectory. I mean, his batting average was .215 after the LSU series, and he just kind of looked lost at the plate. Now .269, he's up there, top five batting average on the team for those that qualify, and I mean, he's a big time bat. If him and Rucker are there close together a lot of times, so you know, those two guys, like I said, I'm circling the righties today.
Okay.
This is going to be a grinded out series, but if those righties can come through today, that's going to be huge.
And we're talking Tennessee's righties at the plate.
Yes, at the plate.
Okay. I like what I hear out of that right there. All right, so looking ahead a little bit, Tennessee obviously could come out of this weekend with a multitude of different options. Could come out of the weekend with the SEC lead, could come out of the weekend with a share of the SEC lead. What do you kind of know about the team standing at the top of the SEC standings right now and kind of just how some of it could unfold throughout the weekend? I know that, you know, no matter what, we're not going to have a lot of clarity, you know, just like we're sitting now. But what is your take right now on the top teams at the top of the SEC?
Yeah, there's so many different ways this thing could go.
Seriously.
You know, when you're looking at Monday, thinking of what the standings can look like. If you're a Tennessee fan, Missouri didn't help matters last night.
No.
Man, Missouri, they had Mississippi State down 4-2 in the seventh, and my man for the Missouri Tigers could not throw a strike. And it was funny because you talked to Tony V Wednesday about like all these, you know, the atmosphere at all these different places and like hearing all these ball chants. I counted ball 8 and,
really?
And he stayed in and still, I think he finally got a strike after ball 8, but, you know, loaded the bases and then they got some runs in. I know two of the runs came off of an infield single. It was terrible. It was, So
Mississippi State did come back and beat Missouri yesterday, which is something that we don't want to see.
Yeah, 5-4. So that hurt because, man, if Missouri knocked them off on a on a Thursday game, gosh, that would have helped out so much. But, yeah, Mississippi State, Vandy, Tennessee, Arkansas, who knows? Vandy, I think, has Ole Miss. That could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised if Vandy wins 2-1 or Ole Miss wins 2-1. So who knows what it's going to look like come Monday.
It's going to be fascinating to see for sure. All right, Logan, only a couple more minutes left here in the hour. Looking ahead to the fan festivities this weekend. First off, are you going to any of the games?
Yeah, I'll be there tonight, and I'll also be there for the Sunday game.
All right, so if I am one of our loyal listeners at the game, and I maybe want to wave hello to Logan Quinton, are you first base sideline or first base line, third base line?
First base line, top row, just past first base.
Go find him, ladies and gentlemen. Go say hello to one of our absolute favorites. All right, how excited are you about the fan festivity portions going on this week and what all Tennessee has cooked up? And it looks like, actually, and Bear, we got to talk about this in the second hour as well, Peyton Manning has been confirmed to be throwing out first pitch tonight. He has been confirmed.
Cool.
By, that would be...
Volquez.
That would be Volquez. Thank you.
The GOAT.
Number 16, but number one in our hearts. What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, no, I'm totally pumped.
Logan, going once.
We lose Logan.
I think we lost you.
He's pumped.
He is so pumped that the energy went right into the phone, poof, blew it up. Lost connection. All right, well, I don't know if we'll be able to get Logan back right now. We'll see what happens with that. I was eager to know his answer, though. Right? He's pumped.
Surely
what?
It was more than pumped.
He doesn't believe in the Peyton curse. That's what I'm just going to go with.
That's what you're taking from that.
Think he put his phone on mute?
Is he still on the line?
No.
Okay, good. So at least he knows, right? That'd be kind of awkward if he was still just
No, that's why I hit off.
Okay, good. He definitely knows it now. But great stuff from Logan there, of course. Hey, go follow Logan on Twitter, at LDQ Sports. He posts a lot of great baseball content, as he is one of our main guys over there. But let's see. Pig roast tonight. Scherzy night.
I thought the pig roast was tomorrow on Saturday.
Oh, man. Am I getting that backwards?
Yeah, tonight's the Scherzy's.
Okay, so tonight is just Scherzy's? What about the pulled pork sandwich giveaway? Okay, there's a pulled pork sandwich giveaway going on as well. I believe the first 350 people or so who head on.
We've got Logan back. Let's get him on. We got time to let him wrap up his appearance with us.
Perfect. Logan, we heard that you were pumped and nothing else.
No, I was trying to say kudos to you with your content that you've put out. You've been putting out fastballs. I come along with the breaking stuff down. It's been an elite combo like Sean Hundley and Kirby Cannell.
Oh, my God.
Let's keep this grinding out. We've been on this thing for a while. We're not just jumping on the bandwagon. We were on the train to begin with. I mean, from preseason previews, we covered the draft picks last summer in the pandemic stricken year. Let's keep this thing going. You're not going to find the information we put out anywhere else. Let's keep this thing going, Rick. I'm pumped for tonight.
All right, Logan, we got about less than 60 seconds here, but you are Logue Stradamus. That is what you are known for in the mornings. You've hit too many predictions that I can even count in a row. What are you feeling for tonight? What are you feeling for the weekend?
Oh, man. Well, I'll stick to my guns and say what I said this morning on the Blitz. I think the Vols take it 2-1. I think tonight is key, but if the Vols... I will say this. The Vols have a better chance of bouncing back in the series than Arkansas if they drop it tonight. I'll say that. The Vols 2-1, though.
Hey, you heard it here first. That is the prediction of Logan Quinton of FanRunRadio.com. Go follow him at LDQ Sports. We got to get out of here real quick. We'll be back, though. Hour number two is next.